Matthew chapter 8 this morning, verse 18 through 22. And we saw last week that Jesus was willing. If you can cast your minds back, and if you weren't here last week, you are able to, or will be able to, God willing, by the power of technology, watch that a little bit later on, 7 o'clock, I believe, on Facebook, YouTube, you'll be able to see that Jesus was willing. He was willing to heal the man of leprosy. The man knew who Jesus was and had faith that he could be healed by him. And Jesus, of course, knew the man's heart. Now, this is a real key element that we have to understand. That Jesus knew the man's heart. And Jesus' ministry throughout the New Testament, he knew people's hearts. And knowing people's hearts around him enables Jesus to be able to pick out those that really want to follow him and those that aren't really interested, or maybe after a free meal or a miracle. So we have to understand this element of Jesus' teaching. And it shows us a couple of things, amongst a lot of other things, to be honest. But it shows us his deity, that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is God in flesh. But also, it gives us insight into his detailed selection of all things and peoples. It gives us a detailed insight as to how Jesus would respond to the world around about him. It goes some way, I think, of explaining why he doesn't always do or choose what we think he should, or perhaps he was going to. So what happens is, throughout, as Jesus is preaching and teaching, he selects scenarios, he deals with people, perhaps different to how we would, or what we would do. Jesus deals with them differently because he knows the person's heart who's coming toward him. He knows the people's hearts around about him, okay? This account this morning goes some way to showing this in Matthew 8, verse 18 through 22. Two men come to Jesus with a desire, seemingly, to follow him. Now, Jesus doesn't do what we'd expect him to do. He doesn't deal with it perhaps how we'd expect him to deal with it. In fact, he deals with it the opposite to what I thought he would do. In both cases, in fact. But let's read Matthew chapter 8, 18 through 22, as I've said. It says, the title of this is The Cost of Following Jesus. If you've got an NIV Bible, that's the title or the subheading that they've given this section. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Now, that's our first instance of Jesus doing something opposite to perhaps what we would expect he would do. Surely Jesus is after the crowd around about him. Is he not? But it says, Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. What more could you want? Jesus replied, Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another disciple, so a follower of Jesus, said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask as we have read your word now that you bless it to us. And Father, as we look together, that you would just encourage us. Father, you'd speak to us through it. Father, you'd show us something more of your wonder, of your beauty, of your grace and your mercy. And Father, we would know that this morning we have met together in the presence of a loving and living God. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So it's a short account that is actually sandwiched between some amazing miracles that Jesus is now performing. He's in full flow of his ministry. And Jesus is approached by a scribe a teacher of the law in the first instance. Now, importantly, as I pointed out as I read it, Jesus is trying to pull back from the crowd. They're all after a miracle. They've seen some and they want more. Why wouldn't you? They're after, have a longing desire to see more miracles. They want to see these signs and wonders that Jesus is performing. But of course, Jesus is after a little bit more than that. He doesn't want to be a spectacle that people will gather around and go back to their homes and do nothing with their lives, nothing about what he said. He wants people to receive what he's got to say and for it to change them, to come to him, to come to a knowledge of him, to understand him. And before Jesus then pulls away from the crowd, as we saw in the first moments of the verses, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. This teacher catches him and says, "Teacher, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And that's verse 19. He is a learned man, a teacher or a scribe, as it would record for us. Surely, as I think about it, looking from the outside in, he would be a valuable asset, would he not? Surely you want somebody around you who knows the law, who's able to impart that to others around about him. Perhaps even as a scribe, because a learned man, educated, able to read and to write, to be able to record what's going on. Like, Jesus, here's your man. Surely. But that's not what Jesus does. And we have to ask the question, why? Because outwardly it doesn't make sense. But of course, as we've already said, Jesus knows the heart. Jesus knows the heart of the man that is asking him. We don't, and we wouldn't know if Jesus just said no. But Jesus doesn't say no. He gives him the reality of the situation. And back to the subheading that the NIV gives, there is a cost of following Jesus. Have we weighed the cost? And here, the man is given the opportunity to weigh the cost of following Jesus. And Jesus says this in verse 20, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man," and this is Jesus' title for himself, "the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Rather than responding with a no, Jesus allows us too to see the man's heart. Because now the man's got a decision to make. Am I willing to be less than that? You see, because if the teacher, remember, if the teacher has nowhere to lay his head, if the teacher is about the Lord's business here, there and everywhere, I can't expect to have more than that because he's the teacher that I'm willing to follow. You with me? So Jesus is making it really clear, look, you follow me, you'll have nothing. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to follow him? And Jesus shows him that in actual fact, his heart is, well, if that's the case, remember Jesus was willing, we saw last week, if you're willing, then don't expect to fare better than what Jesus has just laid out here. And that, of course, left him with the decision, and we can only assume that the decision goes as we expect it to. Still then, another man comes to Jesus in verse 21 of the same section. First, it says, another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Okay? Now, what we have to do is understand what's happened here. Because he's responding to what Jesus has already said we're going to do, okay? Now, you have to understand that in verse 21 because it says another disciple, okay? And let's just go back to the very beginning where it says when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders, who to? The disciples. He gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And this disciple says to him, "First, let me go and bury my father." Now that's a reasonable request, is it not? I'm thinking, okay, we'll see you in a bit. That's how I'd respond. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. His request seems perfectly normal. It's appropriate even. Yet Jesus' response seems to be quite blunt. But essentially what's happening here, understanding from the first moment of who this guy is and his request, we've had a teacher or a scribe in the middle, but now we've got this request from one of the disciples, or a disciple of Jesus, not necessarily one of the 12, but nevertheless a disciple, a follower of the Lord's. He's placing this man on mission. Do you understand that? What I'm saying to you is, you're going to come to me, you're going to come with me to the other side of the lake. That's where we're going. That's where I'm going. That's where my disciples are going. And Jesus says to him, follow me, let the dead bury their own dead. Now, we have to ask the question, why has Jesus come? Why is he here in this moment in time on planet Earth? Why has God dressed in human flesh and appeared here? What is that all about? As if I planned it. What is that all about? John 10 and verse 10 says this. These are Jesus' words. I have come that they may have life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that you might have life. Jesus has come that you might have life and might have it to the full. Jesus' response says, let the dead bury their own dead. The Greek word here, and I've shared it with you before, is nekros. And the New Testament uses this to describe those that have rejected Christ, as well as the physically dead. Dead in spirit and dead physically, okay? That's what Jesus is saying here. Let the dead bury their own dead. Because I don't think a dead person can bury a dead person. Do you understand? And when you read it, you go, well, that's a bit weird. But Jesus is saying, let the dead bury their own dead. I have come to bring life. I have come to bring life. And the time is now. The harvest is plentiful. What we've got to do is share. What we've got to do is show. What we've got to do is pick out those people that are willing to listen. Not the crowd, but we're going to go over to the other side, and the people that are willing to listen will make the way. Jesus is giving this man a response that is showing him that he is on mission with Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say to him, foxes have dens and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus says something very different to him. He starts it with, follow me. That is a whole different response. Jesus says, follow me. This man here, this disciple, is not in that nekros category. He's not spiritually dead. He knew who Jesus was. He had faith that Jesus was who he said he was. And his initial address to Jesus shows us in verse 21, he addresses him as Lord. Lord. And so Jesus says to him, follow me. And we can only assume that he did just that. Because if Jesus says, follow me, whereas the scribe, if you remember, addresses Jesus on the same level. Did you find that interesting? I'm a teacher. I'll address you, Jesus, as teacher. We're on the same level. And the man had missed the point. The man had no idea who he was stood in front of. And he didn't know Jesus. And he didn't have faith to know and to understand who Jesus was. Jesus didn't choose who you think he would choose. And when you look at the disciples, particularly the 12 apostles that Jesus isolates out, and you can see that in Luke chapter 6, as Jesus picks out the apostles, they are a motley crew. They are a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors. They are nobodies from nowhere. People that wouldn't necessarily even be in and amongst society, because fishermen work long hours. Tax collectors, they've not really got a great circle of friends. You with me? And Jesus picks out a real motley crew of people. But he picks out people who have a heart after him. Isn't that our desire, church? Isn't that our desire? That the flaws and the failures that I have, but Lord, I want to be in a position, I want you to know that I've got a heart after you. Did the Lord not say that about David? A man who, wow, when you read it, and he says he had a heart after God. That's what category we want to be in, to have a heart after the Lord. He knows our heart as he knew these men's hearts in front of him. And the question then sits with us too. Do we know Jesus? Where is our heart? Are you wanting to follow, or are you wanting to just observe from a distance? Lord, I'm willing to sort of to come along and, you know, but to actually bear a cost to following you. Well, people might not like me. I might have a different viewpoint to what the world does because the Bible teaches something different. I might be ostracized because I say I'm a Christian and I go to church. Church, there's always a cost. There is always a cost. But listen, what the Lord has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a price that we couldn't afford. Is a price that we couldn't ever attain or think that we could pay off. It's a price that's been paid in full. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no forgiveness of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross for you. He had a heart that longed to have a relationship with you. He was willing to go to the cross. Are we willing to follow him? And I guess with all of these things, when we see that Jesus is aware of our heart and aware of our position, we have to ask the question to our own hearts, do we want to know more? Am I happy sat on the outskirts? Am I happy just on the periphery of all that's going on? Or do I want to know more? Do I have a desire to find out more? Do I have a desire that's willing to step into, different to perhaps the plan that I'd got, but the plans that the Lord has got for me? Am I willing to put my faith and my trust in him? And that's the question that remains for us. And if you want to know more, I'd encourage you to come and see me or Kev or any of the leadership so that we can share the joy of having life, as Jesus puts it in John chapter 10, having life and having it to the full. This is the promise that we have in and through him. Let's pray. Lord, we again just want to thank you this morning for your word, Father, for its encouragement, and Father, for the reality that we see, that you know our hearts. But Lord, we thank you that you have a desire to have a relationship with us. You have a desire to know us. Father, you love us. In fact, we know that because you gave your perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place on the cross. And Father, this morning, that if there's anybody that does yet not you know you as their own Lord and personal Saviour, that Father God, that your Holy Spirit might move and that lives might be changed today. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for its blessing. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just continue to work in people's hearts over the coming days and weeks ahead. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.